out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 5th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. It's Guy Fawkes Day today, so I hope all our British listeners have been out to celebrate that over the weekend. I was coming back from the John Tyndall Memorial meeting with my friend Michael Woodbridge. And as we were driving back, all the night sky was lit up by all these fireworks. It would seem that that's the place to be if you want to see a firework display, is driving along the motorway at the weekend of bonfire night. You get to see loads of them. All the various different towns, I guess, that were having them. Yeah, it was quite a display. And the John Tyndall Memorial meeting that we streamed live on Saturday afternoon, if you missed that, we will be playing highlights of that later on today in part two of our radio schedule. So do check that out. That's in place of Air in Britannia. Well, I've got a really shocking news story to bring to you today. And it's actually from a year ago, but it's continuing today. And you'll see that as we get near to the end of it, how this is relevant to today. And I was really quite surprised at this, that this went on without an uproar, to be honest. A Negro murderer who strangled a young white girl in the United States is now in Britain after parole chiefs in America ruled that he could only be freed if he was deported. So the authorities in America said that this guy was not fit to be released. Yet Britain, for some reason, said, oh yes, we'll have him, bring him over here to our country. We can't have him in prison in America any longer, even though the American authorities said that he was not safe to be released. London-born Dempsey Hawkins, who's now 57, spent 38 years in jail after murdering the teenager when he lived in New York. Parole chiefs in New York ruled Dempsey Hawkins was not fit to be released there, but he could be let out on condition that he was deported to the UK. Well, 38 years in jail. You wouldn't be likely to get 38 years in jail in Britain, unfortunately. You may do if you're a nationalist. If you're a nationalist, they would give you a jail sentence like that. It appears that Darren Osborne, the white guy in the van that ran over a Muslim, I think he was given 40 years in jail. But I never hear of sentences like that over here in Britain. I mean, these Muslim rape gangs, they're only getting about 8 years. 38 years in jail is a long time by British standards. But why should we have him back over here? And if in all that time he hasn't shown that he could be a safe member of society, why are we accepting him over here? When he was 16... he strangled his 14-year-old white girlfriend, Susan Jacobson, with a shirt and then stuffed her body into an oil drum. And the reason for that is because he didn't want her to be with anyone else. And this is a common thing that happens with these black and white relationships. The white girl decides that she no longer wants the black boyfriend. Black boyfriend cannot stand to be rejected like that, so he spoils the object of his affections, basically. He spoils the object of his affections, usually by killing them, or by disfiguring them, throwing acid in their face, doing something to them so that they won't actually be wanted by anybody else, And sometimes while they're in the process of doing that, they think, well, why not just kill them anyway? And they kill them. I think you are 8 times more likely to be murdered by a black partner if you are white than a white partner. And that comes from statistics on interracial marriage. It's a very dangerous occupation to have, dating non-whites, if you are white. And this guy was only 16 when he did this, only a young lad. And he strangled his 14-year-old white girlfriend to death. And he then pretended to help searchers look for her while keeping them from finding her after he'd stuffed her into an oil drum. A young lad actually found her bones in that oil drum years later, and he thought they were the bones of a dog. I mean, you imagine that poor kid discovering this body stuffed into an oil drum. Hawkins, who was taken to America when he was six. So he was taken to America when he was six. Why do we have him back in Britain now? He was quite clearly an American citizen if he'd been living in America since he was six. Hawkins, who was taken to America when he was six, arrived at Heathrow in January. This is January last year, with letters of support from the British consulate. The British consulate actually got involved in this to bring back this convicted murderer who the American authorities said was not safe to be released back into the general public. And when he arrived, immigration officials handed him a British passport. He wasn't even a British citizen. Immigration officials handed him a British passport, and backers welcomed him with a copy of Tennis Whites and Tea Cakes, a collection of poet John Betjeman's writings. So he's obviously been conning these people in the same way that the Negroes out in Nigeria con these elderly women into sending them money by pretending to be interested in literature and libraries and books and whatever. They will pretend to be interested in whatever they think the person they're going to be able to get something out of is interested in. Cambridge University Criminology Research Associate Dr. Ruth Armstrong supported his release, and he now works as a server in a Mexican restaurant run by her husband in the city. And if you look at a picture of her, she looks very liberal, very progressive. Obviously, I mean, she's taken a personal interest in this. This is her poor pet criminal Negro that she's got released and brought back into Britain so he can work in her husband's restaurant. So what about the victims? What about the victim's family? Hawkins' victim's sister, Barbara Reno, blasted the move. She said, "I think he's very capable of killing again. I pray that I am wrong, that he has changed, and that he will make something positive with his life, because my sister never got the chance to lead hers. But I am very fearful that he will commit another crime. He has a bad soul. He has lied and manipulated from day one. While he was in prison, he spun a woe is me sob story, as if it was some kind of love story, and he was heartbroken. He was a very convincing liar. He had us all fooled for so long. We are very concerned about the safety of the people in the community he has been released into." And just think about that. That is somebody who has followed this. This is the family of the victim. And this progressive criminologist has completely ignored that. Totally ignored that and just believed this nonsense that he's a fan of the poet John Betjeman, which he should have been listening to the family of the victim who were lied to by him, who fooled them for so long that he wasn't actually the murderer. I mean, you say here he has a bad soul, and while he was in prison, he spun a woe is me sob story. That's the evidence there. While he was in prison, he was trying to get people to feel sorry for him. And this progressive liberal criminologist has ignored all of that. She's ignored the evidence. She's ignored what the victim's family say and has fallen for his con trick, basically, and now brought him back into Britain. So he's among our population, this dangerous murderer of a young white girl who the American authorities said was too dangerous to be released into the population. He's now wandering about in London, and as we'll see later on in here, he's operating in dating chat rooms, trying to find himself another young white girl. Family friend and retired New York Police Department cop Mark Correo added, "This man has been dumped on you people, and the family feel powerless. Everyone in the UK should be alerted and know what has happened." Well, I won't be holding my breath for the government to be warning us about this. And if the government knew about it, why didn't they put a stop to it? Why wasn't a stop put to this? Hawkins, now 57, was Susan's first boyfriend. It was her first boyfriend, and he killed her. But their relationship hit the rocks when Susan, then 13, had an abortion. So he got her pregnant, and she had to have an abortion. And on May the 15th, 1976, Hawkins lured her to an underground bunker, killed her, and then hid the body in a 55-gallon oil barrel. Now, in other reports, it doesn't tell you about this abortion. It tells you that he couldn't bear to think of her with anybody else. And this is obviously this sob story that he was telling in prison, that it was a love story and he was heartbroken and it was a crime of passion. She'd already had to have an abortion. So she'd already had to do a terrible thing to herself because she'd got pregnant by him. Maybe she realized just what an awful thing she had done by committing miscegenation like that, and realized that there was no way on earth that she should be bringing a child into the world that has no heritage, no ancestors that look like them, and it wasn't created by God, but was created by flouting the laws of nature, a corruption of the laws of nature. That's what mixed race people are. They're a corruption of nature, basically. They're not a natural creation at all. That may hurt the feelings of these mixed race people, but that's a fact. Okay, it does hurt their feelings, but who is responsible for that? Who is responsible for doing that to them? Their parents, for miscegenating. They are the ones that are responsible for doing that to them. And we should be doing all we can to prevent that from happening. And you can explain it to people, and it is just logical. Look at the left today and look at the fuss that they make about genetically modified crops and genetically modified animals. They do all they can to prevent that, but they do nothing about genetically modified humans. And what you're doing there with miscegenation, you're taking the genes from one race and jumbling them up with the genes of another race. It's no different to taking the genes of a spider and jumbling it up with the genes of a goat so that you can make goats that make silk, which is one of the horrible, horrible abominations that the genetic modification industry have created. And there's a real disconnect here between the way people look at things, to think that genetic modified organisms are wrong, but miscegenation is fine. He diverted investigators away from the scene while pretending to help Susan's parents and her six siblings search for her. He then fled Staten Island to live with his U.S. Air Force dad in Illinois, but was hauled back for trial in February 1979 after her body was finally discovered. Well, think about that as well when we're told that it's poverty that drives Negroes to commit crimes. It's the lower class. It's the environment that they're in that encourages them to be criminals. So his dad was a worked for the US Air Force. He worked for the US Air Force. That means that his dad was well off. That means that his dad was middle class. And that's probably why this white girl thought that he was okay to have as a boyfriend. It doesn't matter what class they are. The behavior is wired into their genes, and they're not all going to behave like it. They're not all going to behave like criminals, but there is a good chance that they will, because they have genes that encourage that. They are a different race to us. They respond to external stimuli in different ways than we do, particularly control over their emotions and control over their temper. They don't have the same control that we do. Hawkins was jailed for life, with a minimum of 22 years for second degree murder. Think about that as well. A minimum of 22 years, and yet he did 38. So he wasn't behaving himself well while he was in prison, was he? To be doing an extra 16 years on top of what the judge recommended. The authorities quite clearly thought this guy is still trouble. We cannot be releasing him. And yet these do-gooder liberals over here in Britain got hold of the case. And now we have to put up with it. Interviewed in his cell in 2011, he said, "It was a warm day. I had taken off my shirt. With the arm of my shirt, I put it around her neck as if to kiss her. And then I just started squeezing it." So she thought he was just being nice to her. And he was murdering her, basically, in cold blood. Obviously, just talking about this without any emotion at all in his cell. A panel at Woodburn Correctional Facility denied him parole 9 times after he became eligible in 2000. 9 times they denied it. They ruled that his release would be incompatible with the welfare and the safety of the community. But his fortunes changed when lawyer Issa Kohler Hausman, sounds rather Jewish, doesn't it? An associate professor of law at Yale took up his case. She contacted Dr. Ruth Armstrong, who has a special interest in the rehabilitation of criminals. Well, can't she look into the rehabilitation of white criminals in Britain? What is she doing looking at rehabilitation of black murderers in America? Dr. Armstrong arranged for him to meet with workers from Prisoners Abroad, which provides support for convicts deported to Britain. Last May, Hawkins won an appeal court ruling. That's May before last. Last May, Hawkins won an appeal court ruling for a new parole hearing. In August, he was denied freedom in the US for a 10th time, but the panel said that he could be conditionally paroled if he was deported to Britain. And I guess, they're just going to be glad to get rid of the guy. It cited recent good conduct, positive letters from the British Consulate General, and support from human rights group Reprieve. So once he thought that he was going to be able to get out and go to Britain, once he'd found this gullible liberal professor, he then put on the act of being a good boy. Quite clearly, because he was refused parole all the 9 times before, and there's no mention of any good conduct there, obviously. But it also set out why he would not be fit for release in the States. It said there were disturbing inconsistencies in details that he had given about the killing. It added, "In short, you still seem capable of deception regarding criminal thoughts and behaviour." So even after 38 years, he was still deceiving them, still lying about what actually went on. "Your actions exhibit a cruel deliberation and contempt that prompt us to find that your release in the United States would deprecate the seriousness of the crime as to undermine respect for the law." And yet they don't think it's going to deprecate the seriousness of the crime and undermine respect for the law to have him released. And in Britain, what about the family of the victim? We've already heard how they are feeling about this. And we've got a report here. A journalist went to interview the murderer, the black murderer, Dempsey. And this is what he said. "I'm in a dream state right now. My job is going to be to find a better job, something to do with writing." So his victim is dead. The young white girl is dead. The white girl's family their lives have been ruined. And the actual murderer himself, he's in a dream state right now. He's been rewarded for this murder. And the American authorities released him, and the British authorities allowed him in. They're the ones responsible for this. He told a male reporter, "If it's all right with you, I'd rather not speak about it. I appreciate your questions, but I really don't have anything to say. I appreciate you stopping by. It's always good to see good-looking people around here. But I've got things to do and really don't have anything to say." Now, I think that's quite telling as well, the fact that he's saying, "Oh, it's always good to see good-looking people around here." That's quite sinister. He obviously sent a female around there. As we'll see, he's got a thing about, he's trying to get himself a bit of action, basically. The New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision and Department of Justice declined to comment on the case. Ms. Cola Houseman, Dr. Armstrong, and Prisoners Abroad, they all did not respond to requests for comment either. But a Tory MP, Peter Bone, he told us, "I entirely sympathise with the family of the victim, whose view is that he should never have been released." Well, why was he released then? Why didn't Tory MP Peter Bone put a stop to this? How was this allowed to happen, that this black murderer was released back into the population in Britain when he was safe in a prisoner in a prison in America? Because now, 1 year after his arrival in the country, private messages on the social networking site meetup.com have revealed his new search for women. Speaking to the Evening Standard, a woman contacted by Hawkins said that he was terribly forward in an exchange and gave his number immediately. So she was tipped off that this guy was acting inappropriately. And it's probably not just her that he was acting like this with. I mean, we've just heard that he was speaking inappropriately to this female journalist as soon as he actually got into the country. She said, "I thought it was an unusual name. And he said he lived in Cambridge. So I Googled him. And there was a reference to the murderer, Dempsey Hawkins. I compared their photographs, and it was obviously the same man. I was horrified." I bet she was, thinking, how the hell can this guy be allowed to be operating on dating sites when he murdered his girlfriend and stuffed her into a bin and has been in prison for 38 years for doing so? The woman, who is anonymous in the report, contacted the police after finding out about his past. She said, "I hope he's a contributing member of society, but I think it is important that other females and males in his dating network know his face." Very important. What are this dating site doing, not screening the people that they have on there? When contacted by the Evening Standard, Hawkins said he can understand why people find the conviction concerning, but he claimed his messages were not inappropriate, saying, "I just asked would they like to go on a date. No, okay then, bye. That's it." Well, there was obviously more to it than that. There was obviously something that made this woman worried, because that's why she looked for him, tried to find out more information about him, and discovered that he was a murderer. A murderer of a young 13-year-old white girl. And it's just shocking that this guy can just be walking around free in London, trying to find white, bound to be white women again, trying to date them, and they've got no idea what he's actually guilty of. It wouldn't surprise me if he soon disappears. And it's good that the press have picked up on this and reported on this and drawn our attention to it. But it never should have happened in the first place. Really, he should have been executed for what he did. Not out dating and saying that he's in a dream state right now. And the people responsible is this crazy liberal professor. Well, let's move on to the final news story that I've got for today. And this one's a little bit more cheery. The ringleader of a child grooming gang, a Pakistani rape gang, has been scarred for life after a prison assault left him needing 40 stitches. Ardell Ali, 31, who led a grooming gang in Telford, was attacked by a makeshift weapon at Wakefield Prison in West Yorkshire, leaving him with a large wound running from his neck to his shoulder. And we're not being told that this is anything like a hate crime or anything like that, so hopefully the guy that did this to him won't get hate crime charges. But they must have known what he was guilty of, and this is what's been done to him. According to The Sun, his assailant used two razor blades embedded in a strip of cardboard. A source said Ali and the other lad had a bit of a ruck earlier in the day. Prison officers split them up, but they were still furious with each other. The other inmate went back to his cell later on, and it had been covered in excrement. So this is the way that these Muslims are behaving in prisons. Leaders of Muslim rape gangs have got the freedom to go into other people's cells and smear them in excrement. So it's quite surprising that this actually happened and this guy was slashed. He flipped, blamed Ali, and went straight back for him with the blade. It was a really nasty wound. Ali lost a lot of blood. He went to hospital and had around 40 stitches before being taken back to prison. Ardel Ali was sentenced to 18 years in prison in 2012, while his brother Mubarak was handed a 14-year term after a court heard the two men systematically groomed young girls for after-hour sex sessions at a restaurant. And again, this highlights this the fact that these groomers, these pedophile groomers, though, it's their brothers, their cousins, their friends, their uncles. They're all related. It's not like this sort of when this happens in a white community, which is extremely rare, everyone else in the white community would condemn it. They wouldn't get involved in it. If anyone was to find out that their brother was doing something like this, it wouldn't surprise me if they would kill their brother. Somebody would kill their brother if they found out their brother was doing this sort of thing. But in the Pakistani and the Muslim community, it's a family affair. They all get involved in it. Both of them denied a total of 24 offences at the time, including controlling child prostitution, people trafficking, and sexual exploitation. The abuse was committed against four girls between March 2008 and December 2009. And remember, when it says it was against four girls, it's only four girls that are brave enough to actually come forward and testify. This was obviously going on with a lot more than just four girls. During the trial, Stafford Crown Court heard the pair groomed two teenage girls for sex before persuading them to work as prostitutes. One of the victims told the court she and her friend were driven to a restaurant in Wellington, Telford, Shropshire, after hours. The woman, giving evidence behind a screen, told the court, "Two of the men took my friend into a bedroom. It was after the restaurant was closed, and there were three men in rooms upstairs. She said she went into one room where she found her friend having sex with one of the men. Another man asked her to have sex, she said, but she refused, and instead performed a sex act on him. She told the court, I felt I had to do it. I didn't want to do it." She's obviously in a bit of an intimidating and frightening situation where she was being forced to do this. When the girls left the restaurant, they found the Ali brothers taking drugs and drinking in their car, the jury heard. The girl told the court they were just laughing. They thought it was funny because we had to do it and they got money for it. The court also heard that the girl met the brothers when she was just 15. She said that they befriended her, but when she turned 16, she was forced to have sex with men up to four times a week. A prison service spokeswoman said a prisoner at HMP Wakefield was assaulted on October 21st by a fellow prisoner, and this is now being investigated by police. I'm just surprised that we don't hear more of this. The reason that we don't hear more of this, we don't hear more about these grooming gang leaders being assaulted in prison, is because the prisons are full of Muslims. I mean, pedophiles in prison, they have to be kept entirely separate from all the other prisoners because they will be attacked, and they are regularly attacked. But if you've got a prison that's majority Muslim, the Muslims in there, they're not going to go after these Muslim pedophiles because it's acceptable in their religion. It's completely acceptable in their religion for what they have done. To be grooming white children and raping them and turning them into sex slaves, that's encouraged. So they're not going to be attacked when they're in prison. So this is why this is such a rare occurrence. The guy that obviously did this to him, I guess, he must have been white. He must have been white. Anyway, we'll finish with that little bit of good news there, that there has actually been some rough justice for a grooming gang leader. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.